From Troy to Constantinople, Cities and Societies of Ancient Turkey. Lecture 13. The Early Roman Empire, Ephesus and Pergi.
When Attalus III of Pergamon left his kingdom to the people of Rome in 133 BC, Pergamon became one of the many provinces of the burgeoning empire. By the 2nd century BC, these provinces were ruled by a governor, annually appointed by the Roman Senate. These governors wielded complete control over their provinces. They commanded a garrison, they served as judge, and they organized the finances. Provincials had no rights except those that the governor bestowed, and since governors changed every year, this meant that rights fluctuated. Provincials were expected to pay taxes to Rome and provide food and housing to the Roman army. They could have no local army, nor could individuals bear weapons. Unfortunately, many governors saw their position as a convenient way to make money, accepting bribes from wealthy provincials who wanted privileges. Now, because the kingdom of Pergamon came to the Romans not through military conquest, but as a gift, the inhabitants of what became the new province of Asia expected that they would be treated with some leniency or even with some special treatment. But unfortunately, this was not the case. The new province of Asia was extremely wealthy, and recognizing this, the Romans wanted to make as much money out of it as possible. During the 2nd and 1st centuries BC, the Romans actually ceded the right of taxing the province of Asia to private businessmen, the so-called tax farmers, or in Latin, the publicani. And this was a terrible system, at least from the perspective of the provincials, because each year, various groups of publicani would bid for the right to collect taxes. And so, of course, the group that would say they'd collect the most taxes were given the right to bring in these taxes. And once they met their promised amount, they could keep any extra taxes they collected. So in this insidious way, the province of Asia in the 2nd and 1st centuries BC was bled dry through greed. Relief from this oppression came in 88 BC with the arrival of an invading army led by a man named Mithridates VI of Pontus. We've met a couple of Mithridates already from the kingdom of Commagene, was a common name in Anatolia. But this Mithridates was from the kingdom of Pontus, a kingdom we haven't had the chance to talk too much about. It was small and located along the south rim of the Black Sea in eastern Anatolia. Much like the Commagenians, the kings of Pontus considered themselves to be a mixture of Greek and Persian ancestry. And Mithridates VI was a great lover of Greek art and music and literature. But as we'll see, he also had quite a cruel streak. He considered himself to be a second Alexander the Great, and he modeled his portraits after the great conqueror. Alexander, in some of his portraits, is shown wearing a lion cap, a lion's skull cap, much like Heracles did, and Mithridates used that same motif in his own imagery. He wanted to recreate the great empire of Alexander, and he needed, of course, to do that through conquest. When he inherited the throne of Pontus in 121 BC, he expanded his kingdom until he had control of much of eastern Anatolia. He didn't conquer Commagene, but he conquered other regions adjacent to it. These were regions that were still independent of Rome. Then he turned his sights on the province of Asia. This, of course, now was under Roman control, controlled by a Roman governor. And so legend has it that Mithridates disguised himself as a common traveler and journeyed through the province of Asia to get a sense of what the feel was of the people. And what he learned was that the people of Asia, the former members of the kingdom of Pergamon, the people of Asia despised the Romans. They hated Roman rule. They had been plagued by taxes, and they wanted out. Therefore, he returned to Pontus, and Mithridates VI then brought his army and entered the province of Asia. And he was greatly welcomed by the people.